and you can't see any images. Maybe that's where you're at today. We've been putting a jigsaw puzzle together, and maybe it's December and you're still scratching your head thinking, I don't have the vaguest idea what he's talking about. That might be true. And it might be, and it could be, because of what's on the back wall. I might have assumed, as I've looked at the church collectively, that you might have been here all of those 5 years. So this year's theme is built on top of those. So if you haven't been here for that, I can understand why this might seem bigger than you can chew, and maybe deeper than you're willing to wade. Some people don't like being thrown in the deep end when they can't swim. Makes for a bad day. Some learn how to swim, and some maybe swallow too much water trying to figure it out. So today I'd like to pause, but yet maybe look at something I trust and pray will be simple, practical, and useful. 1 Thessalonians was one of the first books that Paul wrote to churches, church in Thessalonica. Each one of these pastoral epistles has a theme, and again, I marvel that sometimes we read these particular portions of Scripture and we fail to understand what that particular book might cover. The book of Romans is the book on salvation. Have you ever noticed that the doctrine of tongues is not there? Does that say something? It should. It should. Do you know the book of Ephesians is written about the church? About the church, the mystery of the church. And have you noticed that tongues is not mentioned one time in the book of Ephesians? Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, is all about the second coming of Christ. Have you noticed in those two books, tongues is not mentioned one time? You might be scratching your head thinking, yeah, so what? It's significant because the doctrinal books lay out specifically the path that the rest of the book should probably follow. So when Paul is writing to a carnal church like Corinth, the most carnal church in the Bible, you might think that he's writing to correct them. And he does. And so on. This is not a survey of the New Testament, but I'd like that to perhaps be an introduction to some of the things that we might be missing when we take the time to read. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is a great book. For one, I like the fact that there aren't so many verses in each chapter. The other thing I like about 1 Thessalonians, it doesn't have those run-on sentences. I mean, if you've ever read the book of Colossians, you might have 5, 10, 15, 20 verses without a period. You ever try diagramming a sentence like that? And I don't even know how to diagram sentences. That's hard work. Thessalonians, not so much. It's right there. It's easy. I like that. Chapter 4, verse 1. We have one of those bridge words, a connecting word. You can see the similar connecting word in chapter 3, wherefore. Chapter 4, furthermore. You know what those mean, don't you? In order to figure out what the furthermore means, you have to go back and figure out what has already come. So this is a setup, just so you know. I'm setting you up. I'll give you the end before the beginning. We'll give you the end, then we'll trace where this has all come from. And then hopefully by the end of the sermon, we'll figure out what God's trying to say. Furthermore, then, we, who's the we? Chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, Thessalonians, believers in Christ, followers of Jesus, we beseech you, we beg you, brethren, Christians, followers of God, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. That's it. We're going to talk about walking in order to worship. Because someone has said, worship is a lifestyle. Worship doesn't just happen on Sunday. Worship doesn't just happen when you open your Bible. Worship is an attitude. Worship is your worldview. Worship is your relationship with every relationship that you have. Worship is being sensitive to the Spirit of God checking us. When that tongue is just ready to lash out and slash that person into smithereens, the Holy Spirit says, no, no, no. I've already judged your thought. Don't dare let that out of its cage. Because it'll be a mess trying to put it back in. Walking in order to worship. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and ask that you would guide and direct in our service this morning. I pray for my friend Ned and his family as he passed away yesterday. I've known him for over 30 years and pray that you'd be with his family as they deal with his home going. Thank you for the tribute and celebration we had for Charlene yesterday at the church. For those that can't be with us this morning, I think of Mary and Debbie Taylor and others that are sick or ill, I think Audia, and ask, Lord, that you would be with them in a special, personal, spiritual way. Lord, we have trudged miles this year. We've looked at some deep and heavy things. I pray that you would speak to us simply, that we might grab a hold of some basics today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians, in order to get an idea of what Paul is suggesting here by our walk, let me address your attention, if I could, to just a few passages that have come before. Chapter 1, Paul, with his salutation, introduces the letter, introduces his investment, his recollection, his time spent with this church in this particular location. So much so, he says in verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing. What does Paul remember about this particular group of people? One, their work of faith. 2, their labor of love. 3, their patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. When I read that verse this morning, I couldn't help but put in the margin of my Bible, John Bailey and Dave Strelowitz. 2 men that have served this church faithfully for years, countless hours, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. They're as faithful as a guard dog. Labor of love, patience of hope. That's pretty powerful, wouldn't you say? Then Paul reminds them that the ministry that God gave to him is unique and different and rare and hard to say, not like anything you've ever seen or done before. That's what's so weird about church work. Because it could just be church work, or it could be the work of God. Now, I understand how weird that is. I live with myself. My wife lives with me. That's a that's part of that marriage covenant. But doing the gospel work is imperative that the gospel work on me before I do the work of the gospel. Does that make any sense? So the definition of our walk with God is the gospel walking in you? Is the gospel working in you? Is there any difference? Day by day, hour by hour. Is the Holy Spirit of God checking you and me? Well, Friday, I blew it. We have an addictions program Friday night. I confessed my Walmart extravaganza this week where I went to get a family pack of Chip Ahoy's. Those that are laughing understand my weak moment. Not only that, I got fudge-covered graham crackers. Come on. Now you could help me if you came over and finished these things. On top of that, 4 jumbo chocolate chip muffins. Come on, Pastor. Seriously? Cindy, I'm not going to even answer that raised hand. So the point is, everybody has cravings and everybody has issues and everybody has difficulties, you know? We might say, no, I don't feel like helping you right now. So you might not, you know, go to wherever you're going to fulfill that craving you have. Your walk with God or your deafness to the Holy Spirit might be you're not willing to serve. You're not willing to go the extra mile. You're not willing to say, I'm going to serve this person as if I was serving Christ. So our walk is turning into something self-centered as opposed to something others-centered. So Paul, in this introduction to this letter, is commending this church for a number of reasons, a number of things. We could stop there and say, I wonder if our worship is not pleasing to God because of just these 3 items here in verse number 5. Where's the power in worship? If the worship is in the decibel level, if the worship is in the instrument, if the power is found in the performance, that's not worship. When Mary broke the alabaster box, the worship was in the action. Right? The worship was in the action. Verse 6, and ye became followers. Critters, birds, so on, cats, dogs, they have instinct. Instinct is that operating system that God put in there that they don't really even have to think about. The Canadian geese know when it's time to go. Hummingbirds, the whole, you know, creation there has got that figured out. But God has made us in the image of God. God has made human beings in such a way where we think we have it all together, when in fact, we are the most needful creation, perhaps, that God's ever created. Because since the fall, we're deceived and duped into thinking, I got this. I got this. Wrong. Completely wrong. You don't have this at all. At any given moment, at any given instant, we can mess up royally. Be careful, little feet, where they go. Walmart, cookie section. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Serpent tongue. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. And we could continue. We don't have this thing lit at all. And ye became followers of us. Boy, I could probably just park right there. If people are supposed to be following you, where are you taking them? Ye became followers of us. So Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus are being role models. They're being mentors. They're being examples of Christianity. Okay? So the pastor's supposed to be an example. All right, I live in a glass house, but you don't. All Christians live in a glass house. The world is supposed to be able to see Christ in us and through us. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Right. So therefore, if people are following us as we follow Christ, then if we're not following Christ, they're following us in ways that won't benefit them, in ways that won't please God either. Okay, so what does it mean to walk as a Christian? Well, you got to pick up your foot. And you got to put it back down again. But you could walk in place. Pick up your foot, put it back down again. Am I walking? Nope. Well, I'm walking, but I'm not going anywhere. Hello, is there anybody here? Are you walking and not going anywhere? Pastor, this is so much fun. I love these sermons. Treadmill Christianity, right? We're just expending energy. I mean, we could measure the caloric expenditure of going nowhere. Be ye followers of us. So the church in Thessalonica, of all crazy things, needed an earthly model of a spirit-filled believer in Christ. And they found three. Do you know of any? I'm not suggesting that they're perfect. Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I'm the cookie monster. You're laughing, Jason. I've seen you eat. But we've all got our stuff, don't we? Yeah. We've all got our gig. We've all got our thing that we're battling against. So Paul is commending this church. Because they're willing to be followers. not only so, look at verse 7, so that ye, Thessalonians, were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So they were following Paul, Silas, and Timothy, so much so that they became models and representatives of faith in Christ for Macedonia and Achaia. For two nations, this church became a model of walking with God. For from you, Thessalonians, shouted out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad. In every place, your faith, your reputation, your walk with God is spread abroad to every place, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, verse 9, and how ye, Thessalonians, turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Everybody in this room turned to God from an idol. That idol could have been you. That idol could have been a love object of some kind. That idol could have been sin. That, my friend, is a biblical definition of repentance. Repentance means you turn to God from sin. That's what it means to repent. A coin has two sides, upside and a downside, or a downside and an upside, however you flip it. Repentance is you turn to God from something else. So when you make a profession of faith in Christ, if you're turning to God, but you're not turning from something else, you are not truly repentant. Oh, I want Jesus, but I really like what's back there too. So you're not really stretching out both arms to the cross of Christ. You're really kind of reaching here and reaching there, and you're bridging the gap with one hand being spiritual, one hand being carnal, and what you basically turn into is a double-minded person. You are miserable. You're miserable. I know, I've been there. Have you been there? We're there all the time. We're there every day, aren't we? Double-minded. I gotta watch the game. But the baby needs help. My wife's tired. Yeah, but I got private time. I mean, and then we justify and we just go on to this trip where we deserve it. So let's go to McDonald's. So verse 10, chapter 1, verse 10. The word end. So we have biblical repentance clearly defined, and to wait for his son from heaven. Where is his son coming from? Heaven. We call that the second coming. So here in this first chapter of Thessalonians, we have the theme of the book. The second coming of Christ, whom he raised from the dead, God the Father raised the Son, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Isn't that good to know? There is wrath coming. We call that the tribulation. So God, through Christ, has delivered us from the wrath to come. I'm excited about that, but I'm not really happy about those that are going to be left behind. Chapter 2 is a fascinating chapter. Chapter 2 has perhaps more gracious and more, I don't want to say flowing, but gentle words that the Apostle Paul doesn't normally use. For instance, verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Let me pause there just for a minute. If y'all have a Bible, just raise it up just so I can see it. All right. So you've been entrusted with the gospel. So you have the book. Do you have the life? Because the book without the life, God's word doesn't come back void, but if you're the presenter, if you're the messenger, if you're representing God, if you're giving the gospel to somebody and your life doesn't match your lip, they're not going to listen to what you have to say. We've been entrusted with the gospel. Even so, we speak. Maybe we don't speak. We don't know what to say. We're ignorant. Or we know that our lifestyle is so bad or so contrary to the gospel that we'd be a hypocrite if we spoke. Not as pleasing men. Do we do things to please men? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs something like, the fear of man bringeth a snare. So peer pressure is so important to us. It is so definitive, perhaps, in our decision making. And many of us say, I'm so glad I'm not a teenager anymore because I don't have to deal with all that peer pressure. Oh, really? Peer pressure. You ever been to a Bills game? Peer pressure. Ever been to a Sabres game? Peer pressure. You name the place. Name the place. Does peer pressure change or affect your behavior in any way, shape, or form? Of course it does. Of course it does. We don't want to stand alone. Who wants to stand alone? Who wants to be the salmon going upstream? Nobody wants to do that. As pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. Verse 5, for neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory. Now our worship, we need to remember, one, we don't please men, and we're not glory seekers, according to this passage of Scripture, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Verse 7. But we were gentle among you. When have you ever seen the Apostle Paul write that? What does it mean to be gentle among people? Have you ever seen contemporary worship? Is that always gentle? Just a thought. Because if we're walking to please God, then our worship ought to please God. Paul is suggesting here that the Thessalonians need, because Paul and his team modeled gentleness among them. We were gentle among you. How so? Even as a nurse cherisheth her children, like a nursing mother. That's an illustration. He was so burdened for these young believers in Christ that the Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Where is that desire for the milk of the word of God? Where is that person, that teenager, that young person, that college and career person, that newly saved 95-year-old person who says, I just can't get enough of God's word? Where's that person? Were you that person at some time? If so, are you now being that mentor, that example? Verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you. Paul is suggesting that there are affections that are biblical and there are affections that are not biblical. Paul called them inordinate affections. So our emotions can please God, and we have emotions that can be displeasing to God as well. How many of you have ever, at one time in your life, felt hatred? That's displeasing to God. Anger. Not all anger is displeasing to God, but some of it is. So we have emotions that can be displeasing to God. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you. We were willing to give you, invest in you, not the gospel of God only, not only the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ were we willing to give you, but also our own souls. Why? Because you were dear unto us. This morning I wrote in the margin of my Bible one person's name in today's date. Charlene McLeod. You want to know why? Because she models that. If you were at her birthday party yesterday, I hope it was a surprise. She embodies that passage of Scripture. She lives that passage of Scripture. And there are that. It was a living eulogy. I mean, you were alive, but it sounded like we were eulogizing somebody with all those incredible testimonies and praises for Charlene yesterday. It was wonderful to be there. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that to invest biblically into somebody's growth and development takes more than paper. Amen, Pastor. It does. It takes more than paper. You have to invest your soul. Then Paul reminds them that you can't pay me to do this. Now, that might be different. You know, somebody once said, follow the money. How many of you have ever heard that? Really? I've only got half a dozen people? Follow the money? Politically, you've never heard that? Follow the money? Okay, I've told you I've been at some meetings in Erie County regarding the opioid task force and some things, and I find it very interesting that these professionals are following the money. That because now addiction's become such a huge business, there's a huge money in this. So there's huge amount of investment and involvement and interest now in this. I'll go carefully here, but commercial music is similar in this sense, because if you follow the money, there's an awful lot of money to be made in contemporary worship. Wouldn't you say? I would say that. So Paul is saying in verse 9, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. They worked night and day without receiving a penny from the church in Thessalonica. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses of God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Now, pause and stop. If our goal this morning is to figure out how to walk in order to worship, look at that. Are we walking holily, justly, and unblameably? Now you might say, Pastor, you don't know my heart. That is absolutely true, and you don't know mine. But you can watch the fruit. Hang out. Watch the fruit. Come on over. Watch me eat those mega muffins. Join me. We'll get fat together. The fruit is what? Is what determines. It's the fruit. And I'm not talking about the fruit that you all see. You get a chance to see the fruit whenever you get a chance to see the fruit. But you could talk to my family You can hear my testimony and say, for years and years and years, I thought I had biblical fruit. But I've said from the pulpit numerous times, I was a shooting star Christian, and so are you. When are you a shooting star? When, in order to see you full of the Holy Spirit, I have to be in the right place at the right time under the right circumstances. Because if I'm not there at that shooting star moment, you are just like I was, a carnal Christian, no different from the world, trying to battle it out in our own flesh, in our own strength, and trying to figure out what the Christian life is all about. Paul is saying, hey, look, I want to show you how you ought to walk and please God. That's called sanctification. How do I know? Chapter 4. Let's read the next verse. Chapter 4, verse 2. Chapter 4, verse 2. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Now that might be a complete revelation to you to think that there are commandments in the New Testament. Most of us think that we have liberty in Christ to do whatever, wherever, and however we want to. We have liberty in Christ. You can't tell me what to do. Verse 3. For this is the will of God. Isn't that good to know? That God's will is made plain in His Word. And we don't have to worry. We don't have to go to a Chinese restaurant and get some of those crackers and open them up and see what God's plan for our life is. It's right there. For this is the will of God. What is the will of God for you and for me? Even your sanctification. What does that mean? That's a big, long word to say God wants to separate us for the work that He has planned for us. Sanctification. Wow, what could that be? Simply this. Obey. To obey is better than sacrifice. That's clear in the Bible. But because we're natural rebels, we don't want to begin there. We don't want to obey. That's a hard thing to do. Verse number 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, comma, that ye should abstain. You should abstain. You should avoid. You should run. You should flee. You should stop. Chip Ahoy cookies. Because one leads to the next one, doesn't it? And the next one. After about 4 or 5 months, you got 10 extra pounds. Well, how did that happen? One calorie at a time. That's how it always happens. But that's not what it says here. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from, you fill in the blank. Because in order for us to live holily and justly and to glorify God in our walk with God, for every person in this room, that fill in the blank for you might not be fornication. It might be something completely different. But how are we going to walk so that we can worship God daily if we are stuck right here? We should abstain from. In this context, Paul is writing about fornication. But it could be any besetting sin that we face. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That's an old English way of saying your body belongs to God. No matter what you've done with your body in the past, you can glorify and honor God with it now, presently, and forever if you so choose to. You might not have been a virtuous person, but you can be now. The scribes and the Pharisees dragged that woman in the midst of adultery in front of Christ. Lord! This woman was taken in the very act. What do we do with her? What did Jesus say? You who are without sin, cast the first stone. That's the beginning of worship. Have you ever been tired and the wife comes up with the honey-do list? Come on. Come on. What's your natural reaction? We dig our heels in. We justify the fact that this, whatever. Do we want to do it? No. What does that reveal? That reveals self. That reveals this monster living inside of me that says, I want this. That's why I went to Walmart and got the cookies. Right? It's not hard. It's not rocket science, honestly. It's just simple stuff. Verse 15. So we are to possess our bodies in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of. Again, you fill in the blank. It could be the lust of power. It could be the lust of money. It could be the lust of women. It could be the lust of reputation. It could be the lust of stuff, whatever it is. In the lust of blank, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner. We're not to deceive, cheat, or deprive people, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto, you fill it in. But that word uncleanness there means sexual deviance. God hasn't called us unto sexual deviance, but unto holiness. God has not called us unto whatever your thing is. God hasn't called us unto that, but unto holiness. I said all that to say, Paul said in verse 1, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. This book, we treat this book like an encyclopedia. We think that we can go to the back or the front and it has a table of contents. You know, the table of contents in your Bible, if you have one, wasn't put together by God. Who put together the table of contents? Man did. Scholars, whoever, the company that printed it. So you can go back and you can see words and they might have references. But without all of that, there are no references. This is not an encyclopedia. This is a complete revelation from cover to cover. Therefore, when we're looking for principles of life, principles of worship, you just can't go to one verse that says worship and think, oh, this is covered. You see that word? There's 45 times that worship is found, so therefore these are the only 45 verses in the Bible that talk about this context. Concept or no, that's completely wrong. It's completely wrong. So how am I supposed to work? How am I supposed to work where I work as a Christian? That's a good question. You could start in the book of Proverbs, and you could probably come up with 100 principles of how, as a believer, we should walk at work. How should I walk amongst my lost family? Relationships again. How should I treat my lost neighbor? On top of it all, how should I treat God? How should I treat God? That's worship. So, bottom line is, if we're not walking with God, daily, hourly, we're not worshiping God. No matter what story, no matter what person we look at in the scriptures, they're there as models, positive model and negative model. But we need to know enough about what the Bible says in order to walk worthy. Well, what does the Bible say about the Bible? We have a discipleship program that talks about what the Bible says about the Bible. We have a Bible study that talks about what the Bible says about salvation. We have a lesson. What does the Bible say about eternal security? What does the Bible say about baptism? What does the Bible say about prayer? What does the Bible say about sin? What does the Bible say about the will of God? What does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit, the local church? What does the Bible say about giving? What does the Bible say about my liberty in Christ? And we could go on. These are basics. These are basics. These are training wheels for Christians. And if you don't know the training wheels, if you haven't been exposed to the training wheels, don't be surprised if you're confused. Don't be surprised if social media is driving you spiritually insane. You have no foundation. You have nothing to compare it to. You're out there in this nebulous social world where everybody's opinion is supposed to mean the same thing. That's not true. Not every opinion is of equal weight and value. God's word is final. Now, there have been times, as I said Friday night, where I would buy that Hostess cupcake and a Diet Pepsi. And before I got into my truck or my car, I'd throw it right in the dumpster. You might say, that's crazy. It is. Because I knew that stuff wasn't good for me. Why isn't it good for me? Because it leads now to another compromise. It leads to another compromise. Don't little compromises lead to bigger compromises? Isn't that what we teach our kids? Isn't that what you found in your life? Little compromises always lead to bigger ones. So therefore, if we're listening to the smaller ones, God will honor that, and I think will bless us and prevent us from the bigger ones. What does all this have to do with music? Everything. Because God created music for Him, not for us. Let's pray. Lord, we have to know how to walk spiritually. Mostly all of us know how to walk physically. And there are times we stumble, trip, we fall. Some of us can run, some of us can skip and hop and triple jump and all kinds of things. High jump. Some of us can do some really cool things with our feet. Soccer. But God is reminding us through this particular epistle that we need to walk worthy of God. Therefore, every step, every motive, every detour, distraction can affect our direction, can affect our destination. And all of those things are critical. Lord, I wonder, if there are some here that need to turn to God from an idol. Maybe you're here this morning and the pieces of the puzzle are becoming clearer for you. And maybe you just need to turn to God. Maybe you might not have the answers. Maybe you might not have all of the explanations. And maybe you might not have all the comfort in your heart at this moment. But you know
there's safety and there's security under the comfort of His wings. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you need to turn to God from whatever's preventing you from it. That's called an act of faith. It's not blind faith. You're putting your faith in Him. Lord, our will is really stubborn. Sometimes, even when our mind knows that something is right, our will, our selfishness prevents us from acting on what we know to be right because our love, our affection is not what it should be. Lord, we can act right toward others that we love. Really, only until that love is available. But human love is kind of like a swimming pool. Human love can be emptied. Human love can be squandered. Human love can be evaporated. Whereas God's love doesn't come from us. It comes from You. So Lord, my prayer this morning is that Your love would flow through us so that we might love You in return. And Lord, perhaps there's somebody here that's worthy of following. They're not perfect, and they would certainly admit to that. But their desire is to walk with God. Their thought is to walk with God. Their purpose is to walk with God. Their ministry is to walk with God. What they think of others is to show them how to walk with God. Are you that person today? Would you like to be that person today? Would you like to follow somebody like that today? Lord, hear our prayer. Individually and corporately, I pray. Yeah. thank you for your attention. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for laughing at the silly things the pastor does. Diane, I have a membership certificate for you. You want to come up and get it? Diane, how many years did you work at the church in Alden? 14 years in the church office, right? Wow. Thank you for being a part of our church family. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Well, inside your bulletin, there are some announcements to be made. Some things coming on this month and some things taking place next month. Ladies ministry does not meet the first Sunday, so please note that. We also are doing a new study for the ladies. The men are doing a new study as well. That material should be here within the next week or two. So make sure you mark your calendar for that. This coming Saturday is our men's breakfast and devotion. Victor's going to be doing our last study on the book of Ecclesiastes. The last 3 days of the month is our Begin Finishing Well conference with Dale Money, director of First Bible International. He's one of our missionaries. You don't want to miss that as well. We have an others offering in the bulletin. And that others offering is obviously for others. It's for others in our church. We will begin our business meeting in 15 minutes at 12:15.